Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, who was a pattern of the one who was yet to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as a result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made right sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass may increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned to death, so also grace might reign through righteousness and bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you've been teaching us in the book of Romans about our relationship with you. And how, Lord, you provided a wonderful way that we can be made right with you and our sins can be dealt with and we don't have to fear that anymore. Lord, that's truly why we can rejoice and we have access to you. And Lord, we thank you that we have that abundant life and that grace that overflows and is indeed greater than all of our sin. And Lord, as we learn how to be right with you, also, Lord, you're teaching us how to grow in that relationship. And so, Father, we ask your blessing on your word this morning as we wait before you. Lord, give us ears to hear from you this morning what you have for us and by your truth and through your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. C.S. Lewis was an author from the last century, English author from the last century in London, Britain, and he wrote many great books, but there was one series he wrote for children called The Chronicles of Narnia. Maybe many of you have read it. It's a classic. It has become a classic, a series of seven books, and it talks about Narnia as a make-believe land of animals where they can speak, and in Narnia is this king that rules. His name is Aslan, and Aslan is the ruler of the country there. He's a lion, and he rules over Narnia and his kingdom. But there is also a white witch who represents Satan in this story. And in the first book, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, as the series begins, if you've read it, four children who represent the sons of Adam and the daughter of Eve, are taken from London. Their family sends them out to a manor in the country during World War II so that they're safe. And as they're playing hide and seek in this house one day, they enter into this wardrobe. Through the back of this wardrobe, it takes them into this make-believe land of Narnia, which they discover there. And all the journeys as they go in and out of this wardrobe, it happens. But one encounter, Edmund, who is the younger brother, comes across an encounter with the White Witch, the Queen of Narnia, who thinks she is the Queen of Narnia, who is trying to usurp it from Aslan. And she entices him or tempts him with Turkish delight, a type of candy, and she knew that that was something he liked, and she used that to entice him to eat, and she ended up taking over captivity of him and laid claim to him then because he ate the Turkish delight. She had claim on his life. So as the story began to unfold, she was trying to get him to deliver his brothers and sisters over to her as control and power, so she would have the authority of the sons of Adam and the daughter of Eve. But later on in the story, as it develops, Aslan finds out about this. They tell Aslan about the plan, about Edmund being captured by the queen. So there's a meeting between Aslan and Princess, the Queen of Narnia. And they go into this tent, and they have this conference. No one knows, they're talking in private. And they come out, and the Queen of Narnia, Queen looks to Edmund and walks away, and Aslan comes out, and he says, "Edmund, it's okay, don't have any fear. She is laid, she is no longer taking claim on your life. She has set you free." And he was relieved. But then the story unfolded. There was a deal that was made between the queen and Aslan, which they did not know. And if you know the story unfolded. They had followed Aslan then, and he was taken to this flat rock where he was bound. And he was captured, and he was bound, and he was slain by the queen, by of Narnia. And he died there in place so that Edmund could be set free. And they thought that was the end of the story. But the story didn't end there. Because 3 days later, he came back to life. Aslan came back to life again. And the table was cracked, and they couldn't believe it. And they said, "What happened?" They said, "Well, don't you know, in Narnia, whenever the king died like that, time went backwards." And it was a story of how in the first Adam who plunged all the world into sin, his effects were overruled by Jesus, who died for us and canceled out the effects of sin and set us free. It is that that was illustrated in the Chronicles of Narnia, talking about where we are in Romans this morning. Because Paul is talking about a story, a tale of two different Adams. The first Adam, who plunged the world into sin through his disobedience. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came through his act of obedience, brought away to cancel the effects of sin and bring life to all of us and set us free from the claims of Satan that he had over our life. And that's where we are as we get to chapter 5, this part of the story, this part of the book of Romans. Paul, through the first Adam, paradise was lost, and mankind was plunged into sin. But through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, paradise is regained. And we have a way to live with him forever in heaven. And that's eternal rejoicing. In these verses, from verses 12 to 21 through the end of this chapter, Paul is drawing for us a contrast. He's using a contrasting way, comparing one thing against something else, showing us the exact opposites to help us understand the difference between what happened with Adam's act of disobedience and what the results were with that. And what has happened through Jesus' death and act of obedience on the cross, and what the results were for that for mankind. Two different results from two different acts, one of disobedience and one of obedience, and what it has done for us. So with that, let's go to the Word of God this morning, discover together four contrasting truths that we see in this tale of two Adams, the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Paul first tells us that Adam's disobedience made us sinners. But Christ's obedience on the cross makes us righteous. And in that we can rejoice. In verse 12, he says that therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because all have sinned. The scripture tells us that when Adam took of that tree, Adam and Eve, and they took of that tree and they ate in that one act of disobedience, and they had the whole garden, they were enjoying presence with God, they were living with him. But Satan came into that garden and enticed them, just as the white witch did to Edmund with the Turkish delight. And Satan came in and enticed them. And with that one act of disobedience in Adam, all of us were represented. And all of us were plunged into sin with that one act of disobedience. And that was the result. And mankind has been suffering for that ever since. Born into sin. And that's why Jesus had to come. That's why Paul said there is no one righteous. And it's that one act brought disobedience and sin to all of us. But notice as we go down to verse 19. But just through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. So also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made what? Righteous. Through Jesus' death on the cross, his one act of obedience, in him, he took all of our sins on himself. And in him, his righteousness is applied to us by faith. And through him, we can be made right. And the sin can be canceled forever. And that's something to rejoice in, the contrast between the two. The first Adam and Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And when Jesus makes us right, it's done through him, and we become transformed from a sinner into a saint, a holy one. As God looks at you, he sees you as though you have never sinned in your life. Now, we know that's not true. We know we have. But when God looks at you through Jesus, he doesn't see any sin at all in your life. It's been completely covered and paid for. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what he's done. His one act has made that possible for all mankind. Just as Adam plunged all mankind into sin, Jesus has made it possible for all of us to be made right with him. The contrast is very stark, as Paul is showing it here. Second, that through his one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, but through the obedience of the one, many were made righteous. But second, Adam's disobedience brought us condemnation. But Christ's obedience brings us forgiveness. When Adam and Eve had sinned, God came to them in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. As you know the story. And God came to them right away. Adam knew that he had sinned against God, and he had known that it was wrong. And he felt the shame, and he knew. And he tried to cover himself, and he tried to hide from God. And God came to him, and we can hide from God. And God came to him and said, Adam, where are you? Did you eat of the tree? And he didn't want to admit it at first, but it brought condemnation. And because of that, he was cast out of the garden. He was separated from God. And mankind was put on a curse and have suffered the effects ever since. But when we, through Jesus' death on the cross, we are forgiven. Look at verse 16. Again, the gift of God is that gift of salvation. It's not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Adam's one sin brought condemnation to all mankind. But our many sins that we have were cast on Jesus. And he took them on himself. And through faith and trust in him, we are forgiven of all of them. That's beautiful. And that's the difference between the two and what they've done for us. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This scripture is very familiar too. It comes right out of John 3:16, which we all know very well. But this is the following verses from John 3:16 and 17 and 18. Jesus had just got done saying that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but he who believes stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. So when we trust Christ, he has come and taken that condemnation away from us. We don't have to fear that anymore. We know God will accept us. He is pleased with you. He is for you. He loves you, and he doesn't condemn sin any longer in his children. And nay, it is removed. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be getting to this chapter a little bit later. But this is one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of favorite verses in the book of Romans, but this is one of my favorite. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. When you or I are in Jesus, we are no longer condemned for our sin. He has taken the condemnation and brought us forgiveness. That's the beauty, the difference between Adam's disobedience and Christ's obedience on the cross. Third, Paul says that Adam's disobedience brought us death, but Christ's obedience brings us life. And we can see the contrast here is very clear. And again, we look at several verses here in chapter verse 12. He says that just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, this way death came to all men because all have sinned. When God said to Adam in the garden and he gave him that one rule, he said, don't eat of the tree of the garden, tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Satan came to them and said, you won't die. God's holding on to you. God's lying to you. You won't die. And Adam and Eve, when they ate of it, that day, they didn't literally, physically die yet, but they died spiritually that day. And it brought spiritual death, which is that separation from God. But then later on, they were eventually experienced physical death as well. But death came into all because of Adam and Eve's sin. It plunged a whole mankind into death. God's will and plan was that we live forever. God wants us to live forever with him and enjoy eternal fellowship with him for all time. That's what he wants for us. But death came as a result of sin. And notice what Paul went on to say. Verse 13, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, and death had not taken into account where there is. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over all those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did. Then in verse 17, he said, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of forgiveness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, he says, so that just as sin reigned in death, so grace may reign through righteousness and bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Adam's disobedience brought death to all man, but Jesus' obedience on the cross brings us life. Spiritual life, that we are reunited with him, the separation is no longer there, the wall, the enmity is gone. We talked about that. We have spiritual life, but we also have eternal life with him in his presence forever. And we know that when we lay ourselves down in this grave, we are going to be with Jesus for all time. And someday our resurrected bodies will be resurrected and like his, forever and all eternity, life that was brought to us through Jesus' death, out of his death, we have life. Reversing what Adam had done. Just as in Narnia, when the stone was broken and it was made, time goes backwards. Because it canceled Aslan's death, canceled out Edmund's sin. Just as Jesus' death cancels out ours. And fourth, Adam's disobedience led to law, but Christ's obedience leads to grace. God's grace, that he tells us, is greater than all our sin. Verses 13 to 15 says that for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. And what Paul is saying there is, even though the law of Moses was not given, yet sin was still in the world, and people still died. And because sin was in the world, God gave the law through Moses to show that we are sinners, that we need a way of redemption, that we need a savior, we need a way to be forgiven. And he gave the law to show us that we need something. We need Jesus, a savior. So the law was added to show us our need of a savior. But Jesus came, taking all the requirements of the law upon himself that we could not keep. And he brings us instead grace. It says, the gift is not like the trespass, for in the many died for the gift of the one man. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? And I love that, that God's grace overflows to all of us through what Jesus did on the cross. And verse 20 says that the law was added so that the sin may increase. The law was given so we'd understand what our sin is and how important, why we need a Savior. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. That his grace is greater and covers that through what Jesus has done for us. The first Adam, his one man's trespass, through that sin entered into the world, and all of us have sinned, resulting in judgment, condemnation, death to all of us from that one act. That the second Adam, his one act of righteousness, brings the gift of righteousness, justification, life to all of us who trust in him. The tale of two different Adams and what they've done for us. The first Adam had authority over all creation. God had given him authority over all creation. And Jesus has authority over all creation. But the first Adam was tempted and he failed. But the second Adam, Jesus, was tempted and he passed. The first Adam caused all mankind to be inflicted with sin. But the second Adam gave them, all mankind, the opportunity to be forgiven of all sin. The first Adam was disobedient. His disobedience to God led to death. And the second Adam, Jesus, his obedience to God leads to life. And the first Adam gave authority to Satan, to the white witch. But Jesus, the second Adam, took authority back from Satan and reigns as the true king. The difference between the disobedience of Adam and the obedience of Christ and the results from those two acts and what it's done for us. Just as a beautiful illustrated in the story of the Chronicles of Narnia for us. Thank God for Jesus Christ and him coming as our second Adam to die for us that we may have life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. That in him, we identify in him and we are part of his family. And just as being born into the line of Adam leads to death and sin, being spiritually born anew into your line of faith through Jesus leads to a new birth, leads to eternal life and part of your family now. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus and his obedience, his one act of obedience. Lord, that through that, all of our sins were laid on him and you brought forgiveness and grace upon grace, that grace that is greater than all of our sin. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were obedient to the Father's will, that you didn't turn your back away, that in the garden when you struggled with that and you said, if there's another way that this could happen, let it be. But yet you said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were obedient to the will of the Father. And you took all that suffering upon yourself so that we could be set free, so that the claim that the enemy laid on us could be taken away and broken, and we could be set free and have life with you. That paradise was restored again through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So thank you for the second Adam, Jesus, who came for us. And because of that, everything changed. And we who know that and have that hope, Lord, as you give us opportunities, help us to share with others that hope and the reason for what the second Adam has done for our world today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.